And said, do you need an introduction? It don't make any difference who I am. Amen. You don't care anyway. Amen. I'm just old me. But I do want to say while you're turning to Psalms 116, thank you so much for all of the goodies you gave us last night. And I've been eating on that stuff since we left here last night and today. And I appreciate the church and I appreciate the good warm welcome again last night, and I appreciate all of the ladies that helped cook tonight, and everything was so good, and I ate so much, and I got my old craw full, so you may not have to listen to me very long, but while you listen to me, you may have to listen to me go, excuse me. So I'm going to do the best I can just not to overeat before I come, but I do appreciate the good meal, appreciate the brother missionary that's here tonight, and Brother Brandon. We got to meet him up at Brother Buster Mullins' church a couple of months ago. And it's just good to be in the house of God. And I know tonight that everybody's heart is kind of torn. I know that thinking about Preacher Carl, and I know he's done gone on. And I mentioned something the other day. Somebody said he's done gone on to his reward. But you know, I can't help but think about all of the young preachers and everything that's coming along. And preacher, we know that he kindly blazed a trail through this country and allows us to preach the way that we preach because he stood for some things that that were maybe a little bit different from what a lot of people knew in this country. Premillennialism, different things, but I do appreciate the influence that Brother Carl's had on us, but I want to tell you this. Last Wednesday, we went to Baptist and got to see Brother Carl, and he was naturally medicated pretty heavy, and I went over beside the bed, and Brother Paul said, Paul, that's what he called him, Paul, everybody knows. I said, Paul, you know who that is? And he raised up, and he hit me in the belly, said, that's old Thompson. Got to pray with him, and he grabbed me by the hand and pulled me down after I got done praying. He said, Brother Greg, you keep on keeping on. That's the last thing he said to me. So by God's help tonight, we just want to keep on keeping on. We want to go right ahead. We want to go forward for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know that our hearts are heavy, but we can also rejoice in his graduation. We can celebrate his homegoing and know that we're going to see him again one of these days, and I don't believe it's going to be too awfully long. All right, Psalms 116 tonight. If you've got your Bible and found your place, please stand. I want to read the first 14 verses of Psalms 116. Then if God will help me, I want to start dealing a little bit with money tonight. Now, don't make a run for the door. Amen. It won't hurt you, and you already know about faith promise, but Brother Wynn, he's kind of like us. We've got some new folks that may not understand faith promise given, may not have ever heard it preached on, may not have ever seen it in the Bible. So we want to just look at some of the basic principles tonight. But in Psalms 116, the Word of God says, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. That sounds like a man that knows he's saved. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell get hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. So if you'll pray for me tonight, I would really appreciate it. And I'd like to ask you to just lift me up to the Lord that I could make this clear and it'd be a help to you tonight. And it would make it a lot better for all of us. So, Brother Jason, would you pray for me, please, brother? Amen. All right, I'm not going to preach out of Psalms 116, by the way. Thank you for standing. I won't preach out of Psalms 116, but I just want you to get the picture here, and I believe it will be a help to you to understand where I'm trying to get tonight. We see here that this is a man that has been saved, and he knows the Lord. We see there that in the first two verses that he said that he loved the Lord, he had heard his voice and his supplications. Verse number 2 said, because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. He said that he heard me when I called upon him, and I'm going to continue to call upon him the rest of the days of my life. I look back at the old man that he said he was. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. And we go right along and we go down. He says in verse number 9, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. He asked the question in verse number 12, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits towards me? Now verse number 14, he said, I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. If God will help me a little while tonight, I want to talk to you about scriptural giving. Scriptural giving, the way that God puts forth to his people that we are to give. And I know in a lot of Baptist churches, you mention money and everything tightens up. And everybody says, oh no, he ain't going to preach on money. Well, yeah, I'm going to preach on money, but it's all right. Listen, it's just a vehicle that God uses to get the word out. But it's a vehicle that he uses if we will be faithful to him, that he can bless us individually. He'll bless our homes. He will bless our churches. So tonight as we look at scriptural giving, I want to give you just several thoughts that I believe will be a help to you. And if you're already familiar with Faith Promise, I believe it will help make things a little more clear. And if you've never really been exposed to Faith Promise Missions Giving, maybe it will help you see the missions offering in a whole new light. I hope it will. Because it will be a great blessing to you to see God's way of giving. I said last night, I was raised in Southern Baptist churches. We didn't know anything about a missionary. All we knew, you give to the cooperative program. And they dole it out as they'd see fit and this, that, and other. But now, when you think about this denominational giving, and many of you have been in the same place that I have been, and you know that you gave money at Easter, and you gave money at Christmas. One was the Annie Armstrong offering, and the other was the Lottie Moon offering. So you gave it twice a year in the name of two dead ladies. But the Bible teaches that we are to give it systematically in the name of a living Savior. So I want us to look at a few things tonight, and when we get to thinking about missions and we think about money and we think about the way that God said that we are to give and the way that He will bless, I hope this will unfold to you in a way that will be a blessing and a help and a challenge to you. Now, well, we talked last night about why missions. We talked about the fact that folks aren't going to hell. 1.8 a second, 108 every minute, 6,480 an hour, 155,520 a day, 56,764,800 a year. Folks are going out into eternity. It's like the brother said a while ago, hell is a literal place. Hell is a real place, and I don't care what most denominations say. I don't care what the politically correct crowd says. Hell is real. Jesus spoke of a place called hell. But if we're going to keep folks from going to hell, if we're going to get the word of the Lord Jesus Christ out and the message of His saving grace and the word of the gospel out, it's going to take three things. It's going to take, first of all, it's going to take mighty power. Somebody's got to get hold of God. It's going to take manpower. Somebody's got to go. These brethren are going. Then it's going to take money power. Somebody's got to give so that they can go. And that's what we're going to deal with tonight. Now, as I look at this, I want to give credit where credit's due, and Brother Stennett Ballou is a friend of mine, and I borrowed some stuff from him. I asked him, could I use it? He said, you use all you want to, and I'm going to give you some of the stuff that God's given me and some of His stuff that goes right along with this, because I believe this is probably some of the where you find the best lessons on scriptural giving that you'll find in the Word of God. First of all, I want to talk about there are three types of giving that we read about in the Word of God. First of all, there is tithing. And I know that even in this day and time, there are some people that do not believe in tithing. There are members of Baptist churches that do not believe in tithing. Well, let me just say this. Tithing is not optional. Tithing, you people say, well, preacher, that's under the law. No, tithing was before the law. And tithing, that 10% already belongs to God. If you get your paycheck and you spend that 10% that belongs to God, you have taken something that does not belong to you. It belongs to God. And maybe this is not a little too strong to say here, but I tell our folks at the church, if you do not tithe, please don't come to my house, because if you'll steal from God, you'd steal from anybody. Amen. Tithing is not optional. We read in Malachi chapter number 3, and everybody's familiar with Malachi chapter number 3. He says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith. Now that's where we're basing this, because if you've believed in tithing, you know that it works. I've told folks that get saved and come to the church that they didn't know anything about tithing. I try to explain it to them. I say, I'll tell you what, you start tithing, and if it does not bless you and does not end up helping you, I'll give you your money back. Never had to pay out one dime. Never had to pay anything out, because God is not going to be a debtor to any man. And I know that when people think about tithing and they say, well, I had a fellow tell me one time, said, you know, I can't afford to go to church. I won't take up offering every time we go. I said, you know what? I can't afford not to tithe. Amen. God's been too good to me. 1 Samuel 3:20, it says over there that if we'll esteem God highly, that He will honor us. And when we think about how that God has given us the health and strength to work and make a living, and I know people say, well, I made that money. That money belongs to me. But in Deuteronomy chapter number 8, I'll read you this. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth. Do you think if God didn't give you the health that He gave you, you couldn't get up and go to work of a morning? If He didn't give you your right mind, you wouldn't have enough sense to go on a job and make money. But God's been good to us and God's blessed us. And that tithing, that first type of giving, can I say it's fixed giving. It is fixed giving. It's remained at 10% all of these years. Everything else is going up and inflation's raising and all that. God's still at 10%. What a deal. But when we see tithing is the first type of giving, it's fixed giving. And then we see the free will offering. That's fluctuating giving. You say, what does that mean? Well, if it's a free will offering, it means that there is a need, and the pastor may say, well, brother so-and-so got burned out, and we want to be a blessing to him. You give of your own free will. I believe it's in Exodus chapter number 35, where you'll see that that they were building the tabernacle. And God told them, said, well, whatever gets on your heart, you bring it. Whatever comes from a willing heart, you bring it, and we're gonna build the tabernacle. Exodus 35:5 said, take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it. Amen. 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 A willing heart. What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits towards me? Can I say, you're going to give because God gave to you. Amen. God has given us the best gift that we could ever have. And you know what? A lot of times, shame on us. We're too stingy and too tight to turn loose of a little money. Hey, listen, I'm not here to be chap tonight, but I'm just saying this. If we will render unto God, first of all, what's already His to give back to Him, He will honor that. And then on top of the tithes, then you're going to get blessings from the offerings. So we see the tithe, we see the free will offering. The tithe is a fixed giving. The free will offering is fluctuating giving. But then we see missions offering, which is faith giving. It's giving by faith. You say, well, I give my 10%, that's all I'm giving. I'm not giving any more. Well, most of the time that's going to be from people that, hey, listen, I've seen it before and I don't know what anybody in our church gives. It's none of my business. But I have known of people that want to write out a check for $35.42 to make sure they don't give any bit more than that 10%. I'm going to give him that, and I ain't giving him no more. Of course, you know, there's some folks say, well, I'm not even going to give him that. And I heard the old preacher tell about old Deacon so-and-so. He got in the hospital, and they said, where's old brother so-and-so at? Preacher said, he's down there at the hospital getting his tithe took out. But I want to talk about faith promise giving. This is above the 10% that you give. This is besides the free will offerings that you give. I want to show you in 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. Of course, this is written to the church. If you will, turn there, please. 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. While you're turning there, I'll say this once again. What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits towards me? Verse number 14 of our text says, I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people. Amen. When we come to the local assembly, when we come to the local body, listen, we come and we're going to offer up a vow. We're saying, God, this is what I'm vowing. I am trusting You to give me X amount to put into missions. I'm trusting You. This is something that I, by faith, I'm giving that You are going to bless and You are going to give it to me because I don't have it to give. And I'll probably get on that tomorrow night. But as we look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 16, The Bible says in verse number 1, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, whosoever ye shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem." Now I want to just say this. There's never been any other agency set up by the Lord to carry out the Great Commission than the local New Testament church. I am a local church man. Amen. Amen. That's what God ordained. God ordains the church. God commissioned the church. God gives authority to the church to carry out that great commission that we talked about last night. But as we believe in 1 Corinthians 16 here, I'm like most everybody. I thought this was about tithing. But as you begin to study this out, I think it will become very real to you. That the Bible says now concerning the collection for the saints. Can I say tithes are collected from the saints? This is a collection for the saints. Who are the saints? It's the missionaries that are out preaching. He says, "As I have given order to the churches of Galatia." Now when we think about this collection for the saints. And he says, he's talking to the church at Corinth naturally, but he says, the church in Galatia, "I have given them order." Now, he's not giving them orders. He has given an order, a pattern. It's an established pattern. And he says, "Even so do ye." So who is he talking to? He says, "I want you to establish a pattern like the church at Galatia." And if he's talking to Corinth and says, "I want you to establish a pattern like they've got at Galatia," he's talking to the local New Testament church of today. He says, "I want you to have an established pattern of giving." He says, "Upon the first day of the week." Let me just say this. It doesn't have to be necessarily on the first day of the week. You may get paid on Friday and you can take that whatever you and God decide that you're going to give, and you'll set that aside out of your paycheck. And I don't know how you do it here at our church. We have it every first Sunday once a month. Everybody saves up and we put it in on the first Sunday of every month. Maybe that's the way you do it. Maybe you do it every week. I don't know. But all he's saying is you need an established pattern of forgiving. He said upon the first day of the week. He says, "I want it to be systematic. I want systematic giving." And then he says, "Let every one of you lay by him in store." Every one of you. Who does that not apply to? If every one of you, if that does not apply to you, would you raise your hand? You got a pretty sharp crowd here, preacher. I can tell you that. Every one of you, total involvement in missions. You see, a lot of times folks want to go to church and they may want to go on Sunday morning and show up and they don't think one thing about everybody else that's put some effort and put some work into what's going on there on Sunday morning. They've never thought one breath about the preacher that studied all week, prayed all week. Never thought about the Sunday school teachers that have put forth some effort into studying. They've never thought about anything that goes on. They just show up and want a free ride. Can I say missions is the same way? This church is blessed because of missions. But preacher, I didn't fall off the turnip truck yesterday. I've done figured it out. In every church, there's some folks that are not going to give a dime, but they want to get a free ride for what everybody else is doing. He said, let every one of you get involved. Every one of you need to take a little part and get involved in this thing of missions. Amen. So, we see there needs to be an established pattern. We see that this is a thing of systematic giving. He said, let every one of you lay by him in store. How? As God hath prospered him. Now, I realize that some may be on a fixed income. That's what preachers are usually on, a fixed income. That's not what you think of when you hear people say a fixed income. But has God prospered you? Has God prospered you and given to you? I said last night, when you live in a nation where the poor of the poor have two cars, most of the time they're eating so much they're overweight. They can buy $200 tennis shoes. I'm hitting home, ain't it, Brother Bill? Well, you ain't got no. No, I don't believe them's $200 shoes, but I don't believe you're really poor either. Amen. God's prospered you. God's prospered you. God's prospered you. God's prospered you, and God's prospered you. He said, God has prospered every one of us. We complain and we whine and moan and everything. I don't have the money for this and I don't have the money for that. And you'd be surprised how many people probably call your pastor wanting money and they say, well, I don't have any money for food. And they'll come in with one of them $400 or $500 coach pocketbooks. No, I'm telling the truth. I mean, they'll come in driving one of these fine cars. They've got money for that. They've got money for men with these big gold necklaces on their neck and big diamonds in their ears and noses and everything else. But, preacher, my youngins ain't got nothing to eat. Well, why don't you hawk some of that stuff around your neck and sell it and buy them a can of soup or something? No, I'm serious. I'm serious. People have come to the place where they ought to have everything when they want it, how they want it, and if they don't go out and work for it, somebody ought to give it to them. Can I tell you, God has prospered every one of us. Now, if God's not prospered you, I guess that kindly leaves you out of the giving. But I don't believe there's anybody here that hasn't been prospered. He said, every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. You know what that's saying? That's saying every week or every month when we have the faith promise, that vow that you've made to God, you need to pay it there in the congregation so that when it comes time to write the checks for the missionaries, it's there. He said, it will already be there, and I won't have to come and say, hey, everybody didn't give money. Everybody, come on, come on, come on, come on. We got to send it out. The checks are going to bounce. Can I say, Mount Lebanon's got a good record with missionaries. All of those missionaries back there. And I've got a pretty good feeling that I know how things kindly run around here, and I'd say probably never has any of them missed a payment. I've been pastor at Midway for 15 years next week. I think we've been doing Faith Promise for 13 years. We've never missed one payment to one missionary in all of those years. You know why? Because people gave. We got an established pattern. We got into the habit of systematic giving, and God has blessed us for it. Now, when you talk about this giving, and when you think about this missions giving being over and above your tithe, a lot of times people want to say, well, you know, you can ride a good horse to death. But before we think about that, preacher's wanting me to give too much. That preacher, that's all he does is beg for money. That preacher, that's all he wants to do is he wants us to bring more money. Can I say this? He's talking to you out of the Bible, and it's an abomination for a church to get out on the sidewalk at Walmart and sell donuts. Give me an amen right there. I'm telling it right. Amen. It's an abomination to go downtown and see a bunch of tables set up. And listen, if I saw Mount Lebanon Baptist Church having a garage sale to raise money for missions, I'm afraid I'd be awful disappointed. Because that's not God's way. That's not God's way. Who was that? Brother Mays Jackson preached about God don't want you trash. Amen. We can take all this kind of stuff we don't want and sell it and think we're doing God a big favor. Can I tell you, there ain't no faith in that. God's looking for somebody that'll say, God is going to take care of me. He is going to provide to me so I can provide to the missionary. Well, I've got to hurry along. I've got to give you a few things here, but I do want to say this. He said in verse number 3, when I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. He's speaking of the church. Mission should go through the church. And I've had some people come to me in our church and say, preacher, here's a check and I want this to go to brother so-and-so. And what they are telling me is, this goes to the church. The church writes the check to the missionary. Now, I know nobody would believe this, but there are times when people would come to a preacher and say, you just blessed me so good, and I want to give you $500. Come up here, preacher. We had a man come to our church several years ago.
You going
to
give me $500?
Not hardly. Now, Pastor, I'm so glad we found this church, and I want to be a real financial blessing to you and your family. I believe I can be a real financial help to this church. You know what I was hearing? Preacher, I'm buying you off. I'm gaining your favor. I've got a gift for you, because it wasn't very long. Because he says, you know, you remember when I did this for you? How about this? Now, I gave you this. I believe you ought to put me in as a deacon. Sorry. That position ain't for sale. Amen. But see, what that does is that takes our identity away from that money. And instead of that person giving that money to that missionary, can I say it's a blessing to the church because the church sends the check. It's a blessing to the Lord Jesus Christ because He gets honor and glory for it. And the missionary gets that check and they say, hallelujah, the Lord has provided my needs.
Amen.
Thank you, brother. Amen. That's why the church sends missions. That's why the church sends missionaries. Amen. And it's all about the Lord Jesus Christ getting the honor and glory. But as we talk about scriptural giving, and we talk about how that, you know, we talk about you can't outgive God. We say that, you know, we're going to give to God and God blesses it, and that's not the reason we give. Well, why do you plant a garden? Right. You get fruit. There you go, brother. If you plant, Brother Melvin, if you plant 3 hills of corn and you get 2 roachneers on each stalk, how many stalks you going to have? He failed math. I can done tell you that right now. You get 3 hills of corn, each with a stalk, 2 on each stalk, you get 6 ears. You know, Brother Melvin, my youngins was homeschooled, and they brought this stuff to me, and they said, this is new math. I looked at it and said, it sure is, and I can't do it. Amen. So me and you will just stay in old school. But you know what? If you, and I know you probably put 2 or 3 seed in each hill, and then you may thin it out, but you'll get the principle. You drop 1 seed in the hill, up comes a stalk, you get 2 ears. How many kernels is going to be in those 2 ears? A bunch. A bunch. So you've planted that kernel of corn expecting a return. You're expecting to get back more than you give. He said in Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. Now, I'm going to deal with that tomorrow night if the Lord lets me. But when we think about giving, I'm going to say this. We will never outgive God. God's never been a debtor to any man. And when we give to Him, that's the way we're going to get blessings back. And I'm telling you, I'm up for all the blessings I can get. Amen. But I want to show you in Galatians chapter number 6. And I'm trying to hurry. I promise you I am. And if I bore you, you let me know and we'll dismiss, and me and Brother Melvin's going to work on our multiplication. Galatians chapter number 6 and verse number 7. Very familiar scripture. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. What we have here is the law of sowing and reaping. You've heard it preached on many times. But we see that if whatever we sow, we're going to reap. And we talk to our young people about that all the time. But it's not just for them, it's for all of us. He says, he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. That's pretty plain. That's pretty simple. It says, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. What does that mean? That's not how we're saved. Because if we're sowing and reaping life everlasting, that would mean that's works. But if we sow and somebody else reaps life everlasting, are you seeing the picture? Are you seeing the picture? If we sow to the flesh, we shall of the flesh reap corruption. But if we sow to the Spirit, we shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. We're sowing and somebody else is reaping. That's what missions is about. That's what giving to missions is about. But there's four laws that go along with this sowing and reaping. Number one, you reap what you sow. Now, when Brother Melvin planted that corn a while ago, he was planning on getting corn back. Whatever it is, whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. Seed begets seed. So if we're planting corn, we're going to get corn. If we're planting beans, we're going to get beans. Whatever it is you sow, that's what's going to come to you. Well, you reap what you sow. And then you reap after you sow. You know, there are folks who say, if God give me a lot of money, I'd support missions. That'd be like Brother Melvin standing over that hill of corn and say, if I'll have some corn come up, I'll plant the seed. I figured you'd get that in a minute. Some of you might not get it about tomorrow morning, about 5:30, but you'll get it. You reap after you sow, not before. All right, so you reap what you sow. You reap after you sow, then you reap more than you sow. A lot of people say, well, you know, it's awful expensive to go to church over there at Mount Lebanon. They take up the tithe and then they expect free will offering. And then the preacher gets up and talks about faith promise missions. Boy, it costs a lot. Can I tell you, a faith promise mission doesn't cost you anything. It pays every time. Every time. Said God is not a debtor to any man. God will not be outgiven. But then you reap according to how much you sow. Now, Brother Melvin doesn't want to freeze a whole lot of corn, he'll plant them three hills. But if he wants to have several messes to eat, then he might plant 10 hills. But if he wants to have a bunch to eat and a bunch to freeze, and then he wants to put a bunch on the back of his pickup and go and sell a bunch of, you know what he's going to do? He's going to plant it in rows, and way down through yonder he's going to plant corn. And you're going to reap according to how much you sow. Amen. That's what God's saying. He said that God has prospered you. And if you want to be blessed, and I told some folks here it's been years ago when I really didn't know any better. I said, you want God to really bless you, you want to get rich, give away everything you got in the name of Jesus. Now, to a certain extent, that might be right, but I wouldn't advise it. Amen. This is the thing about prayer. This is the thing about praying what God would have you to give. This is, let every one of you, this is a personal thing. This is between you and God. This is between you and God. This is between you and God. We pray about this thing, and whatever God puts on your heart to give, you be obedient to that. He will bless you, and He'll bless the church, and He'll bless the missionary. Well, let me give you another little outline. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 9, everybody still with me? Say amen. All right. How many's ready for me to quit? Say amen. Ooh, that means I can go for a while. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. We're still talking about sowing and reaping. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse number 6. The Apostle Paul said, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Can I just say, first of all, in verse number 6, I see that there's pitiful giving. There's pitiful giving. He said, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. Brother Melvin don't plant much corn, he's not going to get much corn back. But then there's plentiful giving, because the Word of God tells us, he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. So we've got pitiful giving, and we've got plentiful giving. Amen. And when we think about missionaries, and we think about what they're doing in the farm fields, and hey, listen, it's worth it. It's worth it. I don't know how much you give. I don't know what your missions offerings run. I don't know anything about your finances and all of that stuff. But I can tell you this. Every fourth Wednesday night when we read our missionary letters, and somebody, one of those missionaries, and most of the time, preacher, we have reports from anywhere from 400 to 700, 800 professions of faith. And I know people say, does that many people really get saved? I don't know. Maybe not. How many did get saved? I don't know. You don't know. But was it worth it? We've heard a lot of people say, if just one soul was saved, how much is it worth? I want to ask you something. What would you take for your salvation? Sister Betty, if I could buy your salvation for $1 million, would you sell that to me? Brother John, if I was like the government and could spend $1 billion, and I offered you $1 billion for your salvation, would you sell that to me?
No way.
What's your eternity worth to you? Can I tell you, every one of them folks that gets saved, Brother Matt, their soul is just as precious to them as ours is to us. Well, I'm telling you, I wouldn't take nothing for what Jesus Christ did for me. I wouldn't take anything, Brother Rob, for the peace that I have. I know, hey listen, based on the authority of this word and what Jesus did on Calvary, the finished work of Calvary, and Brother Jay, that he took his blood and he sprinkled it on the mercy seat in heaven. And the Father said, well done, my son, I'm going to accept this as the payment for the sin of the world. Oh, I'm going to tell you, I'm a partaker, Brother Wynn. I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. And nobody has enough money that could describe what it is worth to me, Brother Bill, to be a child of the King and know I've got a home in heaven. Amen. So, if you look at it like that, sometimes that'll help us change our mind from pitiful giving to plentiful giving. But then look, verse number 7. He said, every man. We see not only pitiful giving, but plentiful giving. Now we see personal giving. Ladies, that does not let you off the hook. You know that's mankind. That's mankind. Everyone. It's personal. Every man. Let me just go along. Not only is it pitiful giving, then we see plentiful giving, but it's personal giving. But then it's planned giving, because it says, every man according as he purposeth in his heart. It's planned. It's planned. My wife and I know what we're going to give every first Sunday for Faith Promise Missions. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I mean, if it comes down to cutting down on the groceries to have that money, we're going to do that because we've purposed. It's our plan. It's the plan. It's what we've agreed between us and God to give. We've planned it. We've made a vow to that. I will pay my vows before the congregation. Can I remind you, he said, it's better not to make a vow than it is to make a vow and break it. See, that's got to be a plan. It's got to be a... Can I tell you that's a thing of the past anymore? We've got so many youngins, and they'll get up and they'll go and ask their mom and daddy, are we going to church today? Can I tell you how pitiful that is? That's not part of the plan anymore. Now, when I was growing up, on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, there wasn't any point in asking. I've got 3 youngins. Oldest one's 20. He still don't ask. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival meetings or whatever the case is. Of course, when they get up 20, they've got things to do as far as him following me around for revival meetings and all of that. He's not into that, but I'll say this. It's got to be part of the plan. Just the same as that giving has got to be planned. It's got to be part of the plan. Well, we're still looking at verse number 7. The Bible says there, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not only is it planned giving, but it's persistent giving. So let him give. Whatever that plan is, be like Michael Jordan. Just do it. So let him give. It's got to be persistent. That goes back to that established pattern, that systematic giving that we were talking about. Well, then he goes on and he says, now here's the part I like, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Woo! Hey, man, you're about to pass offering plate. Woo! Hallelujah! I've got some money to give. Can I tell you, when we have something to give, we ought to be praising God. There ought to be some rejoicing going on that we've got something to put in, not worrying about how we can hold on to it and take that dollar bill and crumble it up real tight so nobody can know we just gave a dollar. That word cheerful means hilarious. Can I tell you something? I've never seen a tightwad rejoicing in the goodness of God. Give me an amen right there. Don't sound like Baptist. Give me an amen. Hey, listen. God has been good to us, and it's a blessing that we have something to give. God loveth a cheerful giver. He said in Acts 20 and 35, it's better to give than to receive. Amen. Amen. I'm glad we've got something to give. God has already blessed you because you've got something to put in.
Right.
Amen. Well, that ought to be just as much worship as anything else.
Amen.
That God has blessed us enough that we could give something for missions. Well, let's read on down. We see it's persistent and it's positive over not grudging. But then in verse number 8, I want to tell you it's proven given because God is able. How many of you believe God is able? What's He able to do? Whatever He wants to do. Amen. God is able. God is able. God is able. Now unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power which worketh within us. Can I tell you, God is still able. God has not lost one bit of His power. God's still sitting on the throne. He's not worried about the ACLU. He's not worried about the Democrats. He's not worried about the Republicans. He's still on the throne. He's still calling all the shots. And God is able. I'm telling you. Was it Preacher Carl or one of them other preachers said, He owns the hills. He owns the cattle on the hills. He owns the taters in the hills. I'm telling you, He owns it all. He can do it all. He's able.
Amen.
And Brother Wynn, He can give you whatever He knows you need.
Right.
He's able to. Can I tell you, even in this economy, God can bless you and it won't strain Him a bit.
Right.
Amen. 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 He's able. He's able. But look at what it says. And God is able to make all grace abound toward who? Toward you. Towards me. God is able to make all grace. How much grace? There's one person read that. How much grace? Half grace? Two-thirds grace? All grace. All grace. All grace. Make all grace abound toward you that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Can I tell you this? And I believe this with all of my heart. Anybody that is saved by the grace of God will tithe, give to faith, promise, mission, you will always have everything you need. I'll prove that to you in a minute. But He said, abound in all things. He said there, having all sufficiency. Always having all sufficiency. But then, if you'll read this down in verse number 10, now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Can I tell you, he's still proving. Ministereth seed to the sower, that means you're supporting missionaries, you're supporting somebody that's going and preaching and sowing the seed. Minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. God will even bless Brother Melvin's hills of corn. He's going. Let me show you something right here. Verse number 13. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. I want you to look. Whilst by the what? Experiment. You know what he's saying? Try it. Try it. Try it. See. 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 You just see. You just give. Whatever God puts on your heart to give. You try God and see if He won't bless you. You see if He won't give you the increase. You see if He doesn't bless you abundantly if you sow abundantly. And see, I've pastored long enough now that I've heard it. And people say, well, they just want us to give all the time. And sometimes people think, well, I don't know, maybe I ought to go somewhere else where they don't want us to give so much. Look at verse number 15.